Good afternoon. This is our 51st and final class on the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim and Melchamos, the Rambam, the Laws of Kings and Wars. So I want to go over the last halacha again, make one point regarding that halacha, and then I'd like to make one final point regarding this whole subject. So let's read the last halacha in the Rambam. That would be Perik Shneimasar, Halacha Hey, Perik Yud Beis, Chapter 12, Halacha Hey, Halacha 5. And the Rambam describes for us what will the world will look like, how things will be during the days of Mashiach. And the Rambam says, "Ba'osu azman," and at that time, "Lo yiasham lo ra'av," there will be no famine. And they won't, doesn't mean there won't be poor, as we said, but there'll be no famine. There'll be no widespread lack of food. "V'lo mochama," nor will there be war anywhere. "V'lo kina," nor will there be jealousy. "V'sacharus," is strife. "Shatova tia mushpas harbe," because there will be just so much good in the world, so much plenty, so much fulfillment. "V'chol hama'adanim," and all the pleasant things in life, "mitsuyin ka'afar," will be as available as dust. So there'll be fresh water everywhere for everyone. There'll be food for everyone. Whatever people need, that will be available. Why? So that we no longer need to worry about those kinds of things. "V'lo ya'ese kal ha'olam," and so the world will not be involved. "Ela ladas es Hashem bolvad," but only to know Hashem. Only. That means that the whole world will be involved in spiritual matters. "L'fichach," and therefore, "yu chachamim gedolim," so because they'll be involved in all these things, and this will be the most important thing in the world, so then they will all be chachamim gedolim, certainly in Eretz Yisrael amongst us. "V'yodim devarim astumim," and we will know all the hidden things. "Ha'amukim," all the deep things. "V'yasigu da'as boram," and we will attain understanding of the mind of our Creator, "kvikach adam," as much as humanly possible. Shenemar, and the Rambam finishes famously with the pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 11, "ki mala ha'aretz dea es Hashem," that the world will be filled with the knowledge of God, "kamayim liyam mechasim," like the water covers the sea. Okay, so we discussed this in previous classes. I want to make this point again, as we stand here, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is the one who said this, although others said this as well. Why is the Rambam telling us things that aren't halachos? If the idea is that the Rambam wrote a halacha sefer, so we should know what to do, not just in our times, but in the days of Mashiach, why is he telling us what things will look like? And so the answer that the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave was that the Rambam holds that all the things that he's describing in chapter 12 that are going to happen are part of the halachas of what you have to wait for, what you have to hope for. And that if you're waiting for Mashiach because you have a good business idea, was the example we used, you can make sheep for korbanos, so if you want Mashiach for that you're actually not fulfilling your obligation of waiting for Mashiach, because part of waiting is to wait for this idea of Ba'oso Azman, of what will happen at this time. That's part of that. That was what we said in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I want to share with you a teaching from the Or Sameach, or Meir Simcha of Davinsk, who is also known by his Sefer on Chumash, Meshe Chachma, but he wrote a Sefer on the Rambam called Or Sameach. And I want to read to you, I'm going to read and translate the final entry that the Or Sameach, the Meshe Chachma, has in his commentary to the Rambam, which starts from the beginning of the Rambam all the way through. And here's what he writes on this final Rambam. "Ba'osu zman," at that time, "lo yiasham," there will not be there famine, war, "v'chol ma'adanim mitsuyim ka'afar," and all the pleasant things in the world will be as common as dirt. Says the Meshe Chachma, "Kaven shelagodol teshukasam b'muskalos," because people will have so much value for intellectual subjects, "ubamaisa atzadaka v'ayosha," and there will be so much value to good deeds and doing the right thing, Lo yargishu noam b'madanim, people will no longer be making, emphasizing all the pleasantries in the world. Meaning, he's saying, the reason why all the pleasant things in the world will be available is because there'll be no demand for it. Because if you want food, there'll be food, because people won't be so much focused on the food and running after it and pursuing it, because they'll be pursuing intellectual stuff, that if anyone wants to chase after those things, it'll be, so to speak, available. Rakia be'enem hechrechi. Rather, on the contrary, people will only see pleasant things in life as things that they have to do. U'b'chashivusa ka'afar, and they will recognize that it has no more value than dirt. Shetachliso enerak laheser amonim, which is only to avoid bad things happening. V'kasavod Rabbeinu, and then the Rambam continues. V'yasigu das boram, that the people will understand knowledge of their Creator. Kefi koach ha'adam, based on the strength of man. He's quoting the Rambam. Shenemer, as it says, ki mala ha'aretz dea sashem, the world will be filled with the knowledge of God. Kamayim liyam achasim, like the water covers the sea. V'kivim ezeh, so what does the Rambam mean by quoting this verse? Because the Rambam already told us what the world's going to look like. He's telling you, and here are the words of the Meshech Chacham. Shebe'es asher ha'hasagos shebekoach hamurkav. V'chomer v'nefesh lahasig, einam muvurarin. As long as it's not clear what human beings are capable of understanding in terms of intellect, as alu latzos gam lachkor afba mashenimna miyasagas anushi lahasig, then a person is going to delve into, in other words, the world we live in today, based on the where place that people are, based on the situations that people are, people can't really delve into matters that are outside and above the realm that we live in today. But if at least we as human beings would understand things as well as human beings are capable of, alamitaso, and you get it right, below shibushim usfekas, and without mistakes and questions, your understanding of the world. In other words, if man had the opportunity to study and analyze and understand things properly, as yavin masha'enu yachol lahasig, he will understand even things that you wouldn't normally be able to understand. In other words, we have certain limits on the mind of a person. But you should know the limits aren't actually as low as we place them on the human mind. It's only because we don't really use our brains very well. But actually the human mind is capable of a lot more of what we would consider impossible to do for a human mind. There are things that the human mind could do. V'lo yisparitz migvula lachkor b'mamalufla mimin anushi, but the person still has to have a boundary not to cross beyond where the human mind could cross. K'mo she'amru, as our sages warn us, b'dalet she'nichnasu l'pardes, that there were four who entered the orchard. Shebipnei tzipiyaso haisa b'hata'a, because one of them looked mistakenly, that's Elisha ben Avuya Acher. So because he was already mistaken in the process going in, therefore he made a mistake, mashi afshel hasig, to try to understand what couldn't be understood, rak behispareid anefesh miachomer, but only when the physical separates from the spiritual. Let me explain what he's saying. If we walk in, if we're set up right, that means that we have the proper basis for understanding things. And we have the available intellect and the available teachings to us and the available opportunities. Then, not only could we reach our potential, but we would reach a lot more than we think our potential would allow. But if you try to do that without correcting yourself first, without being in those situations, you try to step outside of what seems like human potential, you end up like Elisha ben Avuya. So basically what he's trying to say, or Mea Simcha, is that Rabbi Akiva goes into the orchard and comes out okay, because Rabbi Akiva had all of his bases all of his givens, all of his basic teachings were all organized and well understood. He had all the introductions required. He was properly prepared to step into the orchard, which would be outside human understanding. And so therefore, he was able to go there and attain new knowledge of what we would think is outside human comprehension, but actually is within a capacity which we don't realize. But if you're not in this perfect situation, and you're not perfectly set up, then you're going to end up like Elisha ben Avuya, who sees and corrupts what he sees. So that's what the Rambam is trying to say here, says the Rameir Simcha. V'zesh amar kosev in Yeshaya, it says, umala aretz dea, the world would be filled with knowledge. Shadas ye alburia v'loshem sichsuch v'safik. Dea means true knowledge, without doubt, without question. V'yekamayim liyam mechasim, so then it will be like water covers the sea. Shememalim es ayam, because the water covers the sea. V'enim esparzim chutz legvulam, and they stay within boundaries. Water stays within the sea. Shazer fligu b'ksuvim b'medrashim sheni yotzim egvulam, as we know the verses describe the waters being unable to overtake the land. V'choksam liyam, v'yasechosa b'del sayim, Hashem made, v'yasechosa b'del sayim, Hashem set a boundary for the sea and locked it up. Kenya malas adam az, so at that point human beings would be like water covers the sea. Shlo yisparzu migvulam yisibas idiyasam asher bekoach ha'adam be'emes. People will know the human limitations and the boundaries, and people won't make those kinds of mistakes. And that's why it will be filled with knowledge that covers the sea, like the water covers the sea. Zeh malas deyas Hashem means that human beings, not just that they will have all this knowledge, but they will understand the boundaries of where the true boundaries are between what human limitations are and where they can't, and people will stay, each person, at their boundary. And this explains, say, the Mefarshim, a famous question on the Rambam that many of the commentaries ask. Then in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam quotes this verse and says, in the future, the world will be filled with knowledge, as it says, Umal Aretz Deas Hashem, the world will be filled with knowledge of God. And here the Rambam says, the world will be filled with knowledge, as the verse states, the world will be filled with knowledge of God like water covers the sea. Why does the Rambam have to add the end of the verse, water covers the sea, only here and not there? In Hilchos Tshuva. And the answer is really simple. Because in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam is talking about Mashiach as a preparation to Olam Haba. And there, as we move further and further in to a higher realm, there won't be limitations. But here, the Rambam is referring to a world that will be a better place for us to serve Hashem. But it won't yet be a place where we can transcend our physicality. So if it's not a place that we can transcend our physicality, aren't we limited in what we can understand of Hashem? And to that the Rambam is saying, yes, but you'll reach all the way to the end of those limits. And you'll have the greatest possible human understanding of the divine.
What we know is where to stop. Like, at what point?
That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That we will be like a Rabbi Akiva going into the orchard, who will know where the boundaries are, and so that's Kamayim Liyam Mechasim. Later, when it moves from Mashiach into Olam Haba, at that point we won't need these boundaries.
Because some people will know better where the boundaries are than others. I mean, I would imagine the Talmud Chacham will know the border.
Well, everyone will have their own boundaries. Right? That's what we said, like water covers the sea, where the top is the same, but it's a different depth also. Right? People will have their own understandings. People won't be equal. But everyone will understand where the lines are. Yes?
When you say like the world will be filled with knowledge, do you mean access to knowledge or knowledge itself?
Okay. Knowledge itself. People will have this knowledge. And what we talked about is the likelihood is that Mashiach will teach the world and there'll be a process by which this happens. But eventually the goal here is that the whole world should recognize God and serve Him. And even if they don't keep the mitzvahs like we do, but everyone serves Hashem and takes part in this better world.
At that time, will all Jews keep mitzvahs?
Right. Yeah.
So they'll be motivated to do that, or they'll die when they won't.
Well, I mean, at the beginning, when we bring back the Sanhedrin, if someone breaks Shabbos and there's witnesses and warning, there'll be penalties and punishments, right? We assume that at the beginning, but eventually, as the world, it's hard to imagine a world where everyone's keeping Shabbos, because it's hard to imagine a world different than ours. But when the world changes, that's what we're hoping for. So I want to give a little bit of a overview synopsis of one of the points that we've been making throughout the Hilchos Melachim and Milchamos, and we're going to finish our class with this point. But I want to start like this. There's a Gemara that we keep quoting back and forth, discussing what it means, and we've offered different explanations, and that's the statement that's attributed to Shmuel, which the Rambam quoted, Ein bein olam azeh liyimos ha-mashiach, that there's no difference between this world and the days of Mashiach, el shibud malchios bulvad, only the subjugation of the kingdoms. Okay, I'm sure some of you were troubled, no one that really asked the question. Why do we call it that? Why are we calling it Shibud Malchus? The difference between Olam Hazeh, this life, and the days of Mashiach is war, peace. This term Shibud Malchus is an interesting term to use. The difference will be the subjugation of the nations. Yes, that's a part of what will disappear, because we will have autonomy and independence, and we will have our own country, and the Rambam describes that the Jewish people will be admired and respected in the world, Eretz Yisrael. So that's why are we reducing all that to just Shibud Malchus? But the difference is no longer be subjugation of the nations. I'm sure it bothered some of you. Why are we saying the difference is only the subjugation of the nations? So I'd like to offer an explanation. I'm sure I'm not the first person to suggest this, and once you hear it, you'll agree with me that it seems kind of obvious to read things this way, but if someone does see someone write it, I'm sure someone says this before me. The Rambam finishes all of Mishneh Torah with the laws of kings and wars. And presumably, it's because the laws of king and wars, the laws of kings and wars, speak of the laws of the future, and the Rambam discusses both the laws of present and the laws of future. And so he finishes with this section on what Eretz Yisrael will look like when we bring a fixing to the world. So what we learned was, and we started the laws of kings and wars, but a little bit before kings and wars, not directly before kings and wars, but a little bit before, is the laws of Beis Din and the Sanhedrin. And we've already explained that the Rambam doesn't consider that to be the laws of the future, because the Rambam holds you can bring back the Sanhedrin at any time, which is a separate discussion. And the Rambam holds you can reconjure Smicha. So therefore, according to the Rambam, the first halacha that only begins in the future times is the law, the mitzvah, to appoint a king. And so that's why when the Rambam starts with the laws of kings, even though he speaks of it like it's its own mitzvah, he's really speaking to the next mitzvah that we as a group, as a people, are going to be mekayim, to fulfill. As part of the next stage is the mitzvah to appoint a king. Or to say that better, what we consider to be a hope that we will discover and find the heir to the throne of the house of David, who will lead the Jewish people, that isn't just a hope. It's also a mitzvah. That when he arrives, we will have the mitzvah to appoint him as a king. And so therefore the Rambam prepares us for this by telling us in chapter 1 how and who you appoint as king. Then, of course, without going through the details, the Rambam has to then describe what are the laws of the king, what are the laws that we have towards the king, and what are the laws that the king has towards us. Once you have a king, then we can do the next part of what's going to happen in the future, which the Rambam tells us is definitely going to happen with Mashiach, which is the war of Gog and Magog. So the Rambam, even though it looks like he's following the laws of kings and wars, is actually following the laws of what we have to prepare ourselves coming in the future. First, we're going to have to appoint a king, and then we, the Jews, are going to fight a war. And so therefore the Rambam lays out the laws of war next. And what will happen after the wars are done is there will be a Jewish government, and there will be the Jewish people and the nations of the world. And so we need the laws of the Jewish people with the nations of the world. And after the Rambam has finished describing all of these laws, then the Rambam says, okay, now that you know what you need to do, now let's talk about how you identify and what you're hoping for with the coming of Mashiach. One of the points... Yes, please.
So, isn't Mashiach supposed to be from...
No, that's what we're saying. This, because the laws of kings, as far as the Rambam is concerned, the next king is going to be Mashiach. So the Rambam puts the laws of kings as a preparation for the coming of Mashiach, as if to say, this whole section, the whole laws of kings and wars, is all for Mashiach. Even though these were laws that applied to David and Shlomo and this, but you know, the laws of Karbanos applied before, the Rambam put them into Karbanos, into that section. Here, the Rambam is really teaching you the whole things about Mashiach. But in order for us to prepare for Mashiach, you got to know the laws of a king, the laws of war, the laws of nations of the world. So now that you know all that, now you can hope for Mashiach. We will. We do. That's what he says in Perek Yud Aleph, that we have to follow the signs and see if he fulfills his job. It's us as a people, as a whole, won't be any individual, but we, the Jewish people, have to accept this person as Mashiach. Som Tasim Alach HaMelech means that the Jewish people as a whole were represented by the Sanhedrin and the things like that. There's a system, but yeah, we the Jewish people, it's our mitzvah. That's what I'm saying. That's why the Rambam makes it a mitzvah. He's saying it's not just a hope. You have a job to do. When Mashiach comes, is our job, we have a mitzvah, one of the 613 mitzvahs that we're unable to fulfill today, is Som Tasim Alach HaMelech, appoint a king. And then all the rules we keep, every time you honor him, you mekayim a mitzvah. And every time he takes a haircut, he gets a mitzvah. All these mitzvahs begin to apply. Meaning, therefore, according to this, that the Rambam is further making his point that the only way that you can hope for Mashiach, and the only reason you should hope for Mashiach, is if your hope is to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. But if your hope is not to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, then you're hoping for Mashiach for other reasons. That's not the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Mashiach. That would, so to speak, be the direction that the Rambam is going. But, if you recall, a number of times we saw that the Rambam sort of added in, as the Rambam always does, some hashkafic elements into the halachas. And I'm going to pull out one of them. I'm reading and just translating from the Rambam back in Perek Beis Halachavav. In the same way that the Torah gives the king good honor, people have to honor him. But he inside his heart needs to be humble and lowly. He shouldn't be haughty, and he shouldn't rule with haughtiness. He should be gracious and merciful for the big and the small. He should worry about the Jewish people. He should consider himself almost like a servant to the people. He should have exceptional humility like Moshe Rabbeinu. He should tolerate the troubles of the Jewish people, as Moshe says, like the nurse carries the child. Everyone can look back to what we learned there. The Rambam is saying that kings are not what we think of kings. Those kings of the past is not what a king should be. You have like David and like Shlomo maybe. But not like all these kings that you've seen in the world today. And if you recall, we mentioned during that class that maybe that's why Hashem got rid of kingship from the world, so that we don't have this corrupt view of kings. And also we mentioned then, so that we don't ask for a king k'chol ha'goyim like all the nations, because the nations don't have one. But the Rambam is saying that it's more than just a halacha of appointing a king and that king being in charge. The king has to be humble. And if the king isn't humble, he's not really a king. He's not really performing his duties as a king. Because, as we explained then, the part of the role of the king is to be nullified to his subjects and to work for them. The king almost has no self-identity for himself. Unfortunately, most kings of the world don't understand that, and they think that a king means that they're above and beyond the people, and the people are simply subjects there to cater to their needs. Those kinds of kings, those are not real kings. The Rambam, again, in the Laws of War, finishes the Laws of War with a Hashkafic perspective. The Rambam writes, someone who's going to war, Yish'an al mikveh Yisrael, he has to rely on the hope of Israel, and know that he's going to unify Hashem's name to go to war. He shouldn't be afraid, he shouldn't think about his family, he should erase their memory from his mind. Which, once again, is very different than the way that the rest of the world practices these things. The rest of the world says, fight for your children, fight for your families, fight for your sons and your daughters. And if anything, soldiers should carry photos of their loved ones when they go out to think about them as they fight. We don't think so. We believe that we want to adjust that and think about fighting for Hashem. What do both of these things have in common? It changes the direction of the way people focus their lives away from themselves towards the greater purpose, which is Hashem. There's a Gemara in the Masechtas Brachos. There's a section of the Gemara in Brachos in the second chapter that tells us of these special private prayers composed by the sages. You know some of them because we use them in different parts of our davening. But one that we don't use is Rabbi Alexandri. This was his name, Rabbi Alexandri. Balsar de Matzli, after he would finish praying, Amar Hachi, this is how he would end his davening. And this would be where, you know, at the end of your davening, where you can insert all kinds of things. This is what he inserted. Listen to the words. Ribonu Alami, Master of the World, Galui v'yadua lefanecha, it is revealed and known to you, Shiritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha, that it is my will to do your will. That's pretty bold to say that to Hashem. He's davening, he's saying to Hashem, you know I want to do your will. Umima akiv, but what's getting in the way? Two things. One, Seor Shabi'isa, the sourdough in my dough. And two, hear the words, V'shibid Malchius, and the subjugation of the kingdoms. So that word may have a little bit of a deeper meaning. Says Rashi, what's the sourdough in the dough? Says Rashi, Yetzahara Shabilvavenu, it's the Yetzirah that's in our heart, that's the sourdough in our dough, Hamach Mitzenu, that makes us chametz. So, what's the sourdough in the dough? My Yetzirah. So what's Shibud Malchus? What's the subjugation of the nations? So here's the way that the philosophers explain it, and we'll try to apply it to the Rambam here. Every person has two kinds of challenges. Challenges on your inside and challenges on the outside. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Chava, did they have free will? Yes. How do you know they had free will? Because they sinned. But they had no evil inclination. So how do they have free will? That's the question. The answer is they had an evil inclination, but it was outside of them. It was a serpent who embodied evil and came and did its job the way evil does, which didn't say, hey, you want to sin? It said to Chava, you're not allowed to eat any of these trees, right? And she says, no, we can eat from all the trees, only this one tree. Oh, the one tree, yeah, that one tree that you can't eat. So, and that's what happens in our own head. So what happens, says the Nefesh HaChaim, is when we ate from the tree, now the serpent is inside of us. Now what happens is all those arguments that previously the serpent had to whisper into my ear, now I'm whispering them into my own ear. And I'm saying to myself, you know, I could eat that not kosher food because I'm kind of tired, so it's a little bit pikuach nefesh, and technically it's not that treif. Oh, what are you making up stuff? That's not true. The answer is we make up stuff because we have a serpent inside of us. But what Adam and Chava, as soon as the serpent entered inside of them, metaphorically speaking, what did they no longer have? Anyone whispering in their ear. So what happened was the Yetzer Hara moves from the outside to the inside, and that's where the Yetzer Hara is supposed to be. Which is that you, inside of yourself, struggle with yourself to overcome your issues and all of your challenges to become a better person. But it wasn't supposed to be, or it didn't need to be, that we should also have other people trying to convince us to do bad things. And it wasn't that way when we were living in Eretz Yisrael, under David HaMelech, for example. There was no one who was influencing us to do evil. So the Jewish people were loyal to Hashem. Therefore, what we're suggesting is that when we talk about the subjugation of the kingdoms, we don't really mean the subjugation of the kingdoms. The subjugation of a kingdom is a general term that refers to external influences for the negative. As that Gemara is saying, Sa'or Shebi Isa, the sourdough in the dough, is the stuff on the inside that causes me to be bad. And the Shibud Malchus, the subjugation of the nations, doesn't mean necessarily that they're beating us up or they're killing us. But let me think about it from this perspective. If you raise a child in America, you can do 12 years of dual curriculums, and maybe, Be'ezer HaShem, with Siyata Dishmaya, your child will be Shomer Torah Mitzvot. And if you accomplish that, it's a great accomplishment. That you took a person who lived Bekerev Ha'aretz, that's why we bless like Menashe and Ephraim, because they were Bekerev Ha'aretz. So we have to do this because otherwise, society has a lot of different ideas for where these young children should go and what they should study and what they should learn and what they should be involved in. So what he's saying is...
That can happen in
Eretz Yisrael, absolutely, but not in a society where the society itself promotes goodness. So we live in a world, that's what we're saying, we live in a world where the inside is rotten and the outside is rotten. Right? That's the problem. What Mashiach is going to do, says the Rambam, is at least fix the outside. You'll still have your internal struggles. You'll still have your issues that you have to deal with. But there won't be anyone enticing you to silliness in the way that the world entices you now. There won't be people who make it difficult to observe Torah mitzvahs the way that it is difficult now. People will be encouraged to learn and to study and to understand. If that's true, we've been asking a question over and over again. Does the Rambam hold like Shmuel? Does he not hold like Shmuel? Shmuel says there's no difference between this world and the next, only Shebid Malchias, which we said means there'll be peace. Then why is the Rambam saying all of these things also? The answer is we're learning that Shebid Malchias, when it comes to this, Gemara is the same Shibud Malchus as the one Rabbi Alexandri is referring to, which doesn't mean literally subjugation of the nations, but means external influences for the negative. And that's why it's called Shibud Malchus, the subjugation of the nations. The subjugation of the kingdoms means external forces that drag us down. And so that's what Shmuel means. The only difference between this world and the next world is not internally. We're not going to shech the Yetzer Hara at that point. The only difference is the external. What does it mean, the external? No wars, no famines, so that at least the outside situation is better. Once the outside situation is better, then we have a greater opportunity to work on the inside situation.
Jews are most unified when the other nations are against us. So, it's almost like if they're going to all be for us, what's going to happen?
Right. So that's a good question. I want to address that. The Gemara tells us that when the Jewish people have to do tshuva because some kind of limit has been reached, and we don't, so Hashem can't force us to do tshuva because He can't affect our free will, so He releases a Haman. That's what the Gemara says, that Hashem releases a Haman, and then that kind of leads us to do tshuva. So in the same way, yeah, if the Jewish people would become unified, the nations of the world wouldn't need to subjugate us. We wouldn't need it, and they wouldn't do it. So if we were actually doing the right thing, and the nations of the world recognize that, then we actually have like what we had in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, which is where they were sending emissaries to come learn from us. They kept trying to... We wouldn't even accept Geirim, and yet we had thousands of people who became Geirim, and they just forced their way in because everyone was just... And that's because we're doing the right thing. So we're used to this idea. When they attack us, we're more unified. That's because when they attack us, Hashem is driving us to do tshuva. But if... First, we're unified, which means that starts first, then there's no need for them to attack us in the first place. Okay, so again, what we're saying is that the Rambam is now teaching us the formula for creating an external society that is most supportive of the world that we're looking for is basically the Garden of Eden, but with internal struggle, where the Yetzirah is only on the inside and not on the outside. So in order for that to happen, two things have to change. Two primary things have to change. The first is Hashiva Sheftenu Kvarishona. We need better internal leaders. Internal leaders. Leaders who can help us draw a better line between us and the nations of the world. And then number two is we have to have rules for the nations of the world. We have to have rules for that relationship. And so what we're saying is if Mashiach would come, but we don't put in the laws of Bnei Noach, then you don't have Mashiach. The whole point of Mashiach is to create a world that doesn't interfere, where there's no external influences for the negative. But if the Noachites are not keeping the Noachite laws in Eretz Yisrael, that's external influence for the negative. So therefore, the laws of the Noahide laws have to be in the days of Mashiach, because that's what we're hoping for, a society where people are generally trying to do the right thing and following the mitzvahs, including all the people who aren't Jewish. But they're also part of this process of creating a world that promotes goodness. Because the Rambam holds, as we've learned in this chapter, that the whole concept of waiting for Mashiach is not the end, but a means to an end. It provides us the opportunity to serve Hashem in a way that we have not been able to since the beginning. Because even if you think about in the Midbar, if Moshe Rabbeinu had not brought out the Erev Rav, as we're told, never have been the Egel. And who knows what else would have followed after that. So again, if we would have been clear of the external influences, and that's why they ask the same question. How could the Jewish people do the sin of the golden calf? Aren't we told that at the Sinai, they were all cleansed from the Yetzer Hara as all the poison was taken away? The answer is yes. Well, the Yetzer Hara on the inside, but the Yetzer Hara on the outside remained. And that's when the Erev Rav said, hey, where's Moshe? Let's do this. They were able to influence us on the outside. What we realize is in order for us to fix that, we need to first get rid of all these external influences, end this world where negative things is promoted, where people are encouraged to do bad things in our society. Let's instead have a society where people are encouraged to do good things, and then we will see the true good that we are all capable of. And as the Rambam finishes, "Umala ha'aretz de'as Hashem kayayim ma'im liyam nechasim," I'm going to end with this final thought. It's not just that the society will be better. And it's not just, which is true, that each individual person's life will be better. But as the Rambam wants us to graduate from these things and to say even deeper, you're part of a creation that Hashem created for a reason. And that creation has not been realized, the one that Hashem created the world for. And it's our job to bring it about. In this week's parsha, Hashem says to Moshe, "Zeshmi la'olam, V'zezichri l'dovador. This is my name forever, and this is my commemoration for generation to generation. And our sages tell us that that's where Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to know you're asking me my name, and I'm telling you that you should tell the Jewish people that there's actually going to be one way it's read and another way that it's pronounced, and you better not pronounce it Yudkei Vavkei. So Zeshmi, my name, La'olam, is forever, but you'll notice the Olam is missing the Vav. La'olam needs to be hidden. V'zezichri, but what you can actually say, that's the door, that's for the generations, and from there our sages derive that since Shmi is the Olam, but Adoshem, the way we say Hashem's name, is only for generation to generation, that when Mashiach comes, we will be able to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. When, at some point. That's what our sages tell us. What's the pshat? The answer is very simple. Because today, in our days, we make two brachos. When things, good things happen, we make Atova HaMeitiv. And when bad things happen, we make Dayan HaEmes. Tell our sages in the future, we will only make Atova HaMeitiv. Why? Because we will recognize and we will see how everything is truly for the good. And then the Gemara puts those two things together, because that's what goes together. Yudkei Vavkei, the name Yudkei Vavkei, represents Hashem being beyond time and space, and everything makes sense in that realm. And so therefore, in our world, we can't pronounce that name. But when we will graduate, as Rameir Simcha said, to the highest level that a human being can understand of these things, then, at least then, when we have some understanding of the way the world works, more than we have now, then we will actually be able to pronounce Hashem's name. And so, yes, please.
So, what troubles me about this is, like, putting all the blame on the outside world as to why Jews aren't.
Yeah, we've changed the outside world to external influences.
Every person who doesn't do this, or who does sin, every person who does sin, is doing it only from the outside. Like, in other words, what's inside of them is not.
Rabbi Alexandri said, he said, listen, I've got two issues. I've got the sourdough in my dough and the subjugation of the nations. We've got both. But what we're learning, the Rambam is saying, is in order for you to properly fix the inside one, you got to get rid of all the external influences for the negative. So that's what we're saying. When you raise your kids in a society that showers them, they've got to have these toys and these pleasures, and you have to have this, and this is the right way of looking at things, and this is mercy, and that's cruelty, and they have all kinds of weird ideas. It's hard for us to be proper. And for us to raise our children proper and to grow up proper.
When these external influences go away, we will have to do nothing inside of us.
Then we'll have the opportunity to work inside of us. And as we do that, we will further elevate the world. That's kind of where the Rambam is going. To create the opportunity so that you can then do things in your way, because you can't do anything about external influences. The people who are in a pogrom, They couldn't make tefillah b'tzibur.
But they couldn't do internal influences. They couldn't do anything about that either.
Well, they could start working on their inner thoughts and feelings, but it's hard when the external influences are so difficult. And that's what the Rambam is saying. So that's why the Rambam, all of these, what I'm saying is, it's not just the last two chapters that are the laws of Mashiach. The laws of kings, the laws of a society, the laws of creating a world where a person is able to seek and find their best life from a spiritual perspective, that's really what we're hoping for. And so ultimately we realize that even Mashiach is not really the king. Because we say, V'haya Hashem l'melech ha'kal aretz, Hashem will be king. And by Yom Ahu Yiyah Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, is he, Hashem will be one and his name will be one. And we ask, what does it mean he will be one and his name will be one? The answer is, because once we recognize Hashem as the true king of the world, then we can say Hashem's name, because we recognize that everything Hashem does is for the good. But in order for that to happen, we have to first create this society. And the only way for us to properly create such a society is to have Mashiach help us bring this about. And so that's that is our hope every day. Achakelo b'chol yom shiyavo. We wait for Mashiach to come every day. As the Radvaz ends his commentary on the Rambam, he says, "Im yismameh achakelo," quoting the verse in Habakkuk, even if he delays, wait for him. Kivo yavo lo ya'acher. He will come. And as Malachi says, "Pisam yavo el achalo," suddenly he will come. Mashiach will come to redeem us. V'mehera v'yomenu keni hiratzon. Beis Hashem, we should see the coming of Mashiach from here. Amen. Amen.